In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We have so many great riches in the Orthodox Church and in our traditions, and I think often, particularly those that have grown up in the Church and haven't known anything different, don't fully appreciate it, except maybe when you hear someone who has had some other experiences expressing their amazement at the beauty and the richness of the things that we have. About a year ago before Lent, I was talking to my older brother, who's a Nazarene minister, and the Nazarenes are not a particularly liturgical people, but he does preach according to the general seasons of the Western calendar, and so he was planning on talking about the beginning of Lent, and he asked me about how the beginning of Lent differs in the Orthodox Church from the Western Church. And of course, I pointed out that we started on a Monday rather than a Wednesday, and I talked about Cheese Fair Week. But when I started talking to him about Forgiveness Sunday and Forgiveness Vespers, the service we'll be doing right after this liturgy, he was really amazed. And as a matter of fact, he was so impressed by it that the next Sunday he preached a sermon on that topic. And his sermons were video casted on his church's website, so I got to see it, and it was a pretty good sermon. He's a better preacher than I am. But he was very moved by what he heard, and it was just sort of a general description. He didn't even get to see the service. But I've seen people who were visitors on Forgiveness Sunday who were also very moved, because to see people bowing to one another and asking for forgiveness is something that's a beautiful thing, and it's something that you unfortunately don't see all that often. In a lot of churches, people just harbor resentment, and there's never any outlet for that. But Forgiveness Sunday is not just something that should be done once a year. I mean, or not Forgiveness Sunday, but forgiveness is not something that should be done once a year. That's something that should be part of our daily lives. And St. Paul talks about this in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 25. He says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." Blessed Theodoret, commenting on this, talks about the absurdity of different members of the same body lying to one another. He said, imagine if you're standing on the edge of a cliff and your eye decided to lie to your feet and to say, there's no cliff down below, you have nothing to fear, and so the body walks off the cliff. Well, the reason why the eye would never do that is because the eye is going off the cliff with the feet, if that happens. And because we are members of one body, we should be truthful to one another and kind to one another, because what happens to one of us happens to every one of us. The image of the body has been brought home to me. As you might remember, about this time last year, I had Bell's palsy because I had a tooth that got infected. Well, that same tooth came back to haunt me this year, but before it got to that point, I went ahead and had them extract it. But in the last probably 2.5 years, I've thought more about that one tooth than I have ever in the rest of my life, because I never thought about it before. It was just there. But when one part of the body ails, St. Paul tells us, the rest of the body suffers. And so we should be compassionate when we see other people suffering, and when we see other people struggling in various ways. That should be affecting us, because we are a part of the same body. Then he says, "Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." Now, when he says, "Be angry and sin not," he's quoting from Psalm chapter 4, verse 4, as it's rendered in the Septuagint, not in the Hebrew, which is an interesting point. But this is a very important point. It's often a principle that's cited to people in the context of marriage, and it's certainly true in that context, because in a marriage, this is someone that you're living with from day to day. And if you go to sleep angry and you allow the anger that you have from one day to carry over into the next, that can be very detrimental to your relationship. But St. Paul isn't limiting this to that context. He's saying that we shouldn't let the sun go down on our anger, period. Being angry in and of itself is not a sin. If someone slaps you in the face, you're going to have a physical reaction of that that's going to include anger. But where the sin comes in is when, after that initial pain of having been slapped in the face passes, if you continue to allow your anger to fester, then it begins to become sinful because you're not allowing that to go. You're not forgiving that person. It's good to be angry at injustice. It's good to be angry at sin, but we shouldn't allow our anger at injustice and sin to turn towards hatred towards another human being who was created in the image of God. St. John Chrysostom says that the way that allowing anger to fester gives place to the devil, he says that we're supposed to be like an army that's in close ranks, and you have to keep in mind the way people used to fight in St. John Chrysostom's time. They had their shields side by side, and they stood in these ranks, and if the other army was able to break up those ranks, then they could make mincemeat out of them, because that was the whole strength of their phalanx. Once that was broken up, an army, particularly if it had superior numbers, could make easy work of them. But the Romans especially, when they would maintain their ranks, could mow down an opposing force, even if it was superior, because they had these superior tactics and because they didn't break ranks. And he's saying that we as Christians have to be like that. We have to be close together. But if we're bickering with one another, if we're hating one another, and we're allowing ourselves to be at war, then we're not facing the enemy, and we're allowing the enemy to take advantage of the situation. We're allowing the devil to work in our lives and to get a hold of us. And this is one of the ways that in the Gospels, when it talks about the unforgiving servant who was forgiven a debt he could not possibly pay, but refused to forgive someone who owed him a very small debt, when it says, deliver him over to the tormentors until he pays the whole debt, the tormentors are the demons. And if you harbor unforgiveness, the demons are going to be tormenting you, not just in this life, but in the next, if you continue to hold on to that resentment. Then he says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. St. John Chrysostom says about this that St. Paul is not just telling them, don't steal and don't let corrupt communication come out of your mouth. When he says don't steal, he then says what to put in its place, because it's just like when you have a garden, if you pull up the weeds, you have to plant something good in its place, because if you don't plant something good in its place, what's going to happen? The weeds are going to be growing back because there's nothing there to occupy that ground. And so instead of just saying don't steal, he says go and work so that you'll have something to give to people when they need it. Instead of just saying don't let corrupt communication come out of your mouth, he's saying be edifying, say things that are going to minister grace unto those that hear you. And then he says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. We have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. If you've ever attended a baptism as an adult, as opposed to just being there as an infant, you will remember the words that the priest says when he chrismates someone. And chrismation is the sacrament in which the grace of the Holy Spirit is imparted to the person, the seal of the Holy Spirit, the priest says, as he anoints the person. And so we've all been sealed by the Spirit if we're Orthodox Christians. But if we rebel against God, he will depart from us. We have to maintain that seal. We have the seal. We've been given that sacrament, but we have to maintain the reality by maintaining a relationship with the Holy Spirit, and that means that we cannot grieve him. That means we cannot behave in a way that will cause him to depart from us. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, or wranglings would be another way to translate that, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Here he reinforces what we heard in the gospel. Christ said, if we want to be forgiven, we have to forgive. And here he's telling us we have to forgive because God has forgiven us. So in like manner, if we have been forgiven, we have to forgive. If we fail to forgive, then like that servant who has forgiven that great debt but refused to forgive his fellow servant a very small debt, that forgiveness of that debt will be retracted. And so it's very crucial, it's essential for us as Christians to forgive. And then he says, be ye therefore imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. It's a great honor and privilege that God has given to us to be imitators of him. Just as God forgives us, he's given us the privilege to be like him, and the obligation, in fact, to be like him, to love other people, to forgive them. Even when other people are not lovable, we have to love them just as God loves us. And we, by doing so, can be examples of God's love to those around us so that they will come to know God himself, if we'll only try to imitate God in these things. So we need to take the opportunity that's afforded to us today by this rite of forgiveness, but by doing so every day and being imitators of God and forgiving. Because we need to forgive our debtors each and every day, because that's the way that God is going to forgive us. Amen.